When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la vacuna que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
Yep.
I have something I want to say.
What up?
If you're a regular listener to K100, you've heard us talk about our friends at Legacy Sports Nutrition. Now, Nick Aldis may be on probation indefinitely, but he knows what he's doing when it comes to supplements and you. Our faithful K100 fans have been proven it time and time again. In fact, Nick and his wife, Mickey James, were at WrestleCon in LA over WrestleMania weekend, and they met several K100 listeners who are now loyal LegacySubs.com customers as well, including this shout-out here to Jay Baca, who was finally able to meet Nick in person and tell him that since he started using Legacy products about 1 year ago, he's lost over 50 pounds and over 10 inches from his waist. Jay was so excited to share his progress that he bought his Legacy products with him to show Nick, and you can see those pictures at the LegacySubs.com Instagram page. Jay is currently using Absolute Men's Wellness Formula, MCT Oil Caps, and Ultimate Test Stack. We want to take a moment to give a shout-out to Jay, and huge congrats on your awesome progress. And shout-out to Nick Aldis and Legacy Sports Nutrition for these amazing results. If you want to transform your body just like Jay, go to LegacySubs.com now and always use the code K100. That's K100. It's the most used code on the site ever. That's a testimony to our listeners. For 10% off your entire order and show your love and support for the show, level up with LegacySupps.com. Legacy Subs.
Yo, go check it out. They got pre-workout stuff. They got stuff to help you improve your memory. They got stuff for recuperation after workouts. What do you use, Joe?
Much like Jay, I also use the Ultimate Test Stack. I've been using that for a few months, and it's really helped when I do the fight camp workouts with energy and recovery, and also, of course, the recovery PM, as we all know, helps you sleep a lot better and you wake up very refreshed. So, been recommending this for a long time, and I still do. I mean, it's very, very helpful stuff. It'll make you feel better.
We all use it. It's very effective. There's a reason why they've stayed with us. Our listeners have been buying it, and Jay Bach is proof of its effectiveness. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom.
I think you could make a case
that
of all the podcasts out there, and if you look at all the fan bases of all the podcasts, that our fan base might be the most physically fit of all the podcasts. Because if Nick is selling, if like we're the number one sellers of his products, you would think they're. I mean, you see what wrestling fans look like generally, right, Conan? I mean, that's kind of like, yeah. So we're helping, we're improving the lives of our listeners one day at a time.
And
what
I
do you
think they appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. Next is from David. And the subject is, have you seen the WWE Succession intro cut? Greetings, gents. David here from Memphis. I hope they're all well. Just touching base to see if Conan, Disco, Joe had set eyes on the video crossover of WWE footage spliced with the format themes and intro music of HBO's Succession. See the link below. Okay, Joe, pull the link up because I don't watch Succession, but for the video.
I've heard a lot of excellent things about it. You know,
Succession maybe one day a talented video editor can put together one of Conan spinning his career from in-ring accolades to the other talent he's guided, mentored, and elevated, or broken too if you really want to pull off the man in the chair vibe. Speaking of which, I'm going to risk Conan's kazoo and a disco suspension, but I'm going to call my own bonus question, if time permits, to Conan. If you were to self-assess and give a summation of your career in wrestling, in the wrestling industry, between the ropes, taking bumps, as a booker, etc., and if you sought to extrapolate your role impact on the business around you, to use wrestling parlance, do you consider yourself a heel or a babyface? Additionally, do you have any particular piece of business, quote-unquote, either on the wrestling or office side, which you regret not pursuing, agreeing to, or which you were close to being involved in, but outside forces prevented you from going forward with it? Please and thank you. Interesting. This is a pretty hard hit question right here. So first of all, to make in your career everything you've done, do you think you've been a heel or babyface?
Bro, I always love villains in movies and TV and heels in wrestling, so I'm a natural heel with babyface tendencies, but I'm much more of a babyface now than I used to be.
Who's your favorite heel in movie history?
Favorite heel?
Yeah.
I know my favorite heel was.
I was just thinking Jimmy Conway, Goodfellas.
Nah, that's not my favorite. My favorite heel in entertainment has been J.R. Ewing. Fantastic
Ooh?
Character.
Oh,
J.R. Ewing. Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Never been. But the best thing about J.R. Ewing, okay, is he was a fantastic heel, you know? But he would do baby face things and it would last for like 3 weeks and he would go heel again. It's like, bro, it was just like the writing of the writing of the J.R. Ewing character on TV was like the best character in the history of entertainment. The way he was produced. And like this, it was just fantastic. So guy was, cheated on his wife, screwed his family. Guy was great. Unbelievable. The second question is, is there anything that you regret not pursuing because people talked you out of it? Has there been something that you've been very strong, like you've been very adamant about, passionate about, that it's just you didn't pull the trigger on it because somebody talked you out of it and they probably shouldn't talk you out of it?
Or you were stopped or whatever,
Right.
I think the biggest thing was when I was going to sign to Rap-A-Lot Records, which was one of the top, urban record companies in the United States, and the owner, who have people that are in the rap game, he's like, one of the OGs. His name is Jay Prince, and he had seen my videos on WCW, and he wanted to sign me up, and he wanted to buy the first. I didn't even know you could do this, but I guess this is a trick of the trade. He was going to buy my first 500,000 copies so I could go gold in 1 week and generate a buzz. That's how much he believed in me. And Eric wouldn't let me do it, one, because we were in a massive fight around that time because of Rey Mysterio. And also because we were working with Tommy Boy, because the Tommy Boy was doing like themes for some compilation album and he wanted me to work with them.
They put that out, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and to me, Tommy Boy was kind of soft. So that would probably be the one thing that I really regret, because this guy was going to give me a mega push. And I think as far as something that I want to do and I'm going to do is I hopefully next year, you know, I'll be writing for a TV show in the United States.
So next is from, oh, play the clip here. I haven't seen it. You have the clip show? Okay, turn this off. I don't watch Succession, so I have no clue what do you watch the show Succession, Conan?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with Succession.
The guy took the intro music and made like a video of the McMahon family in comparison to that show.
So
yeah.
he
took a history video.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Next is from who's it?
Durbin?
Travis Bain. And the subject is WCW and TNA hilarious stories. Hey guys, I've listened to Conan Disco since their podcasting debut on MLW Radio years ago. During that time, Conan told a couple of hilarious stories involving his time at various companies. Two of my favorites involve Hoovy, David Penzer, and a female fan at a hotel room while Conan did a run-in. Another involved Dixie Carter having Hernandez take photos for a TNA wrestler calendar that was never released or produced. It's been so long since I heard these stories. Will Conan once again share these and or the other funny stories that came to mind? Disco, any you have would be welcomed as well. Thanks, guys, and best wishes. Now, I want to bring this up, too, because I think this is funny. So, you know the Hernandez story, right? Because I wasn't there when this Hernandez story came to fruition. Did you know the Hernandez story, Conan?
Yeah.
So, apparently Dixie had the hots for Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Could we agree on that, Conan?
Mm-hmm, yep.
Okay, that she like organize a photo shoot for the guy just to like take pictures of him like where he was like various states of undress and stuff and everything, and then said it was for a calendar, but they never released a calendar. What were these like photos taken just for her personal calendar?
Well, the worst thing was is that he was living in a house that I was living in Mexico,
right?
And he had all this nice clothes. And I'm like, where are you getting this money from? And he goes, oh, Dixie sends them to me. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah, Dixie sent them to me. She bought me all this stuff. And he was telling me all this stuff. She bought him. And then she had also sent them to Mexico to learn Spanish because she wanted him to kind of be a top guy and be bilingual and get that Mexican audience. But whoever was booking there at the time didn't see him as a top guy, so he was never pushed as that. But you know, she definitely had a crush on him because she was buying clothes and anything he needed.
She obviously had the hots for the guy,
right?
But she couldn't, basically, maybe because I want to say this though. I think Dixie was a better worker than people give her credit for. Okay, because I think Dixie, when she first got into this business and like had been around Jeff and Dutch or all these guys, they had been around the business and everybody, right?
Raven
realized that, okay, I'm not stupid. These people are trying to work me, okay, and I'm just going to work them back. Is the vibe I got from her, and I don't think the guys that were trying to work her got that vibe. Okay, because
I'm going to tell you the vibe I got from her.
Let's hear your vibe.
The vibe I got from her is she was new to the wrestling business. She didn't know what was going on, and she was getting continuously worked.
Right. Okay, what do you think her react? Do you think she realized that?
I think it was when it was too late, and she didn't know what she was doing, bro, straight up.
No, she didn't, but I think she learned enough about how to work people, that it compromised her honesty.
Yeah, because look she was a bullshitter.
She turned into a bullshitter.
Yeah.
Because everybody was bullshitting her is the vibe I got.
That could be.
That's the vibe I got.
Situation, D.I., the Corgan situation, where it could be argued that she worked him into investing in the company with a promise that he'd be in charge, and he wasn't. He never got the power that he paid for, essentially.
So I'm saying, I think she learned on the fly of how to work people, and kind of like very rookie-ish in a rookie way, started working people back. And I think the funny thing is that the people she was working back were the workers that they didn't figure it out. They always thought she was like, well, this girl, she's just a mark. We can take advantage of her. It's like, no, she kind of figured out you guys are working her. You know, it's like the way I was looking at it, because I was there. You know, so it's like, I'm in the meeting. So it's like, I think Dixie is kind of not, she's not wrestling smart, but she's not a stupid person.
Right.
She's an intelligent person. And like she got in this business. You guys are looking at her like a mark. You guys think you can work her, but she, maybe took her a little bit to figure it out. But it's like, she has enough conversation with people to know, like, well, this person told me one thing and this person told me another thing. The both of them are bullshitting me. You know, so she had enough private conversation with people to know that people working her. Right. And I kind of like respected that the way that she, I don't know. It's like, you know, she, like I said, she shouldn't have been doing it. Like, this is not the job that she was given of running a wrestling company. She had no qualification for it at all. It's like kind of like Tony, you know, he just says, dude, the guy, you got no skills in this. You've never trained to be a wrestler. You've never been a, you've never done anything. You're just like, hey, run a wrestling company. It's all right. It's like, you know, but I always got
in Tony's case. He was like an in-depth fan. He knows who the guys are. He knows
doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Brothers, there's 100 million wrestling fans.
Yeah.
In the history of wrestling, it's like he's no that yeah, that
he
you
was
can't
more of a wrestling
there.
Fan than she was. But how much did it really help him, Joe?
Right.
At the end of the day, you got to deal with egos. You got to deal with
people working you, lying to you, trying to
like me. I have to keep my bosses happy. I got to keep the network happy. I got to keep the wrestlers happy, and I got to keep the fans happy. You know how many times I'm able to do that across the board? Very little.
Right.
Somebody's always bitching about something. Wrestlers are always working. Oh, I'm about to leave. This other promotion is calling me. I want more money. Why does this guy have a title and I don't? And, bro, it's every fucking day, you know?
How many wrestlers does AAA have? Like, how many wrestlers do you have to, you know, be in charge of? What's the roster at?
Probably around 70, but there's only about 40 that we really, really push, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll say, just in summation, I will say this. I think Dixie definitely had the hots for Hernandez.
Right.
Probably wanted to sleep with them.
Right.
Probably couldn't, because if people found out, she'd be compromised. And this is the way she handled the situation, like buying him clothes, and not knowing that he would, like, tell everybody. It's like, you were living with him, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We lived in the same house. Mm-hmm.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, because I was like, where do you get all this fucking clothes?
Oh, my God. Do you think I ever slept with her?
He told me no, and I believed him, but...
Oh, you asked him?
She wasn't afraid to flirt, as we saw with Raven and Ron Killings. And, what was it? Pac-Man.
Was it... Did he... I was... Because, like, I wasn't in TNA at the time. I came back for a show, and Pac-Man was at... It was one of the shows that Pac-Man was at. I went to the bar afterward. Was it, like... Did she suck a shot out of his belly button, or was he sucking a shot out of her belly button?
I wasn't there. I heard that. I wasn't there.
I saw that. Okay? So, it's like, yeah, I can't... It's so long ago, I can't remember. I think she sucked the shot out of his belly button. Oh, my God.
Right. She was wild. Everybody was drinking. Bro, here's the thing. Everybody was drinking. Everybody was flirting. She wasn't the only one.
And she was attractive.
Right.
And she's like around a bunch of hot guys. Yeah. She's around a bunch of hot guys. Like, what's this thing? Just be honest. Dixie Carter got a tremendously positive experience out of in the wrestling business, I would say, because she probably had a lot of fun.
You're boring. Right, full of characters.
Yeah. Right.
When you need zucchini or deli ham, Instacart shoppers lend a hand. add a little life to your cart. And if you want your bananas green, honey, it ain't no thing. Add a little life to your cart. Instacart helps get your groceries. Your first three deliveries are free.
Download Instacart. Add life to cart. Terms apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Conan, guess what?
What up?
You know, spring has sprung, and our friends at Manscaped have the best tools for some spring cleaning. And they've already helped you tidy up all the nooks and crannies of your body's basement. But this year, Manscaped can help you get the perfect presentation on that beautiful face with the new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Now, there's a lot of neckbeards in professional wrestling. All right, so make sure you look your best this spring by using the code K100 to get 20% off, plus free shipping at manscaped.com. So for all you neckbeards out there, I know there's some, you know, there are a lot of you, but the ones that have the well-trimmed beard, it's time to tame your mane with the Beard Hedger Pro Kit. The sun is peeking back out, which means you'll have to show your face in the daylight again. That's right, you got to get out of the house. So use the kit to make sure your scruff looks award-winning, whether you've got glorious beard flow or some smooth, sleek cheeks. So the kit starts off with the Beard Hedger. It's a waterproof cordless trimmer with a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair-cutting lengths. That's 20 lengths. That's a lot, all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of add-ons. Like, you know how you have all those guards and you have to keep them in your drawer and they're lying all over the place? You know, it's funny, too, because my cats steal the guards.
Right.
And go and play with them. Like, I'll come home and I got the guards of my my beard trimmer, Beard Hedger, are on the steps, are on my trimmers, right? Yeah. Okay, so no more of that with the Beard Hedger. It comes a titanium-coated T-blazer to tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. It's a high-tech piece of art, a travel-sized package with a long-lasting battery, universal charging, and a strong motor, right? So you don't have to worry about charging it all the time. And next to kit is the liquid goods that make you feel good. Start with the beard shampoo and conditioner. You gotta have that. You can't treat your beard like you treat your pubes. That's why the kit is a special shampoo and conditioner specially designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, that's very key, and replenish your beard's natural oils and promote beard health. It also has this the Manscaped Beard Oil. And the nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath while adding a little shimmer and shine to liven up the look. And then it has the Beard Balm. And it's a pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oil. So it's got like a, you know, like a gel for your beard. It's awesome. So not to mention the Beard Hedger Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts. A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So if you have a beard, or if you want to grow a beard, you got to use this. It's the Beard Hedger. And you can save 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code K100 at manscaped.com. That's M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D.com. Focus on the face and use the Beard Hedger Pro Kit for the cleanest look in the game. And if you want to start a beard, you have to get this product.
This is incredible. If you haven't purchased this yet, you'll be happy you did when you do. So get all your grooming needs at manscaped.com. Boom.
It's a hell of a deal. Okay, next is from Roy Lucier, and the subject is Meltzer Star System. Question for the group. Let's say that sadly something sudden happens to Meltzer tomorrow. If in your infinite wisdom you can pick one person to now be in charge of giving out stars to matches, who would you choose? Also, I don't know if you knew this, but Roman Reigns is coming up on 1,000 days as champion of the WWE. It's quite impressive, and almost as many days as times that JoJo hugely, he spells it hugely purposely, and Mike Durbin appeared on each other's shows on the Creative Control Network. Thanks again, guys, for the great content. What's the question here?
Who would replace Meltzer?
First of all, nobody should replace Meltzer. The whole gimmick of like trying to invest in star ratings for matches is, I think it's hurt. You can point
somebody
to a lot of stuff.
Cornette started that.
Yeah, he got it from somebody else though.
He did, okay. but then Dave started. If you look at professional wrestling as a male soap opera where stories, you know, we're telling stories and everything. To actually like put the emphasis on when the guys are in the ring and how good their performance was on some subjective measure of rating the match. I don't even know how they're rating the matches. I watch a match and today, these days, Dave is giving like the work has never been better. There's 6-star matches. There's 6.5. There's 5-star match. 4. You look at it like, bro, there's like you would be hard pressed to find a 4-star match back in the day. Every week on TV, there's a 4-star match according to Dave. And I'm watching the matches, and these guys are slapping their thighs, you know, the work is definitely not by anybody that's measuring the performance on like a level like here's the thing, the level of star rating of a match should be like the highest should be how realistic it looks. Like, did the match look like a real fight between two people? And if you judge the matches on that scale, like these days, the matches suck. If you go back in the day and watch, bro, there's a 10-minute match between Joe, pull this up on YouTube. So I'm gonna maybe show 2 minutes of this, right? Mm-hmm. There's a match between Tiger Mask and Dynamite Kid, okay? It was a 10-minute match, and it's a 5-star match because the match looks as realistically as a real fight it's fantastic. Like you're watching this and like, okay, this does not look like a wrestling match. This looks like a fight, as close to a fight as a wrestling match can be, right? And there's other matches that are like that, brawls that have happened, like Terry Funk and Jerry Lawler. Have a good brawl and like, you know, so and it's 5 stars because it looks as close to realistic as possible. We've gotten away from that scale. Now it's like, okay, 5 stars, like 6 stars. Well, was this entertaining? Like the level of entertainment. It's like, no, if we're judging the matches on work and performance and stuff, you have to judge it on what wrestling the principle is to try to make the match look as real as possible. Bro, you and Conan has had, let me ask you a question, Conan. Like, you've had matches against Eddie Guerrero. You've had matches against Juventud Guerrero. But would you say the matches that came closest to realism were, like, you and Pero Aguirre were basically just brawled?
Right.
and would you, like, in your...
Those get the most heat, bro. Those get the most heat.
Then they get the most reaction because it looks as real as possible.
Right.
So, like, today we're judging matches on performance art and stuff. And it's just, like, that's not what... If you're rating the matches, like it should be as how close was it to as real as possible? Would you agree on that?
No, to me it's as was I entertained? That's what I look at. Was I entertained?
I would disagree with that.
Watching this match, okay? Well,
because I can be entertained.
You can't disagree with what I like, Glenn.
You can
agree with what you like.
What's my point?
Don't. What do you mean you disagree with that?
No. Because here's my point. I can be entertained by a Jim Duggan match,
right?
But it's not a 5-star match. It's kind of like a 1-star, you know, 2-star, you know, whatever. But like, if you're looking at what they're doing in the match and what they did to entertain and pop the crowd, it's not like Tiger Mask versus.
It doesn't need, but it doesn't need to look real for me to be entertained. Was I entertained or not? That's what I look at.
And so that's a divide. Yeah. So yeah. we could argue of like when we're rating matches, what are we rating?
Yeah.
I would suggest if you're literally rating star wise and stuff in the. How close does the match look to realism? For right. entertainment purposes, okay, that's a completely different rating. It's like you know what it is. It's like Rotten Tomatoes. It's like audience versus fans. There's two different numbers.
Like sometimes the critics rating is 46%, but the fan rating is 90. You know, like the people that went to the booths, it's like, you know, that's kind of like what wrestling is today. It's like Meltzer is kind of like the critic rating, but what's the fan rating for the match? You know, like that's what I would say. So it's like, you know, which is why the whole star rating system is, it shouldn't be given as much merit as it does. Would you agree with that?
The thing is that, you know, Meltzer's probably seen more wrestling matches than just about anybody on earth. You know, he's actually been to them or seen them. Mm-hmm. So he does have an eye for you know, he's been in so many historical moments, so people know that, and he's respected, and wrestlers want to get 4-star ratings from him.
He's a legit movie critic.
Yeah, and right. Fans, just like you and me used to go to Roger Ebert when he was alive,
right?
Because that's 100%. Who we respect. Whatever he said, we usually listen to.
100%.
This movie sucked. We didn't see it.
Me too. 100% with Roger Ebert. Yeah,
right.
Because I would agree with him a lot. Right.
Listen to this as a habit. I keep reading his article because somebody's writing it now. I don't know who it is, but it still says Roger Ebert reviews. And
I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, but I can't. Like, I could. I quit. I quit. I don't really watch a lot of movies ever since Roger Ebert retired or died.
You're not
because I don't have that gauge of like, okay, should I go see it? It's like because I don't trust anybody anymore. You know, we always joke about a Rotten Tomatoes, like, you know. Like you go see him, like when you bring up, what was that? You haven't seen him. We haven't brought up any movies lately on this show because like you haven't.
No, because I haven't really seen them because they're not that good.
Right. Because you're not hearing good reviews. You know, so like I wonder if the movies.
I'm gonna go see, what's this movie called? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Flash?
Right. No, not Flash. I will never see a Marvel or a DC movie again.
But
Michael Keaton's back
as Batman, D.I. That's interesting.
Okay, because here's the thing. For the simple fact that the Marvel movies are like, you know, 2 hours and 45 minutes to 3.5 hours long. Considerable amount of time you got to invest. And it's literally a coin flip on whether the movie's going to be good or not. And I'm not investing my time in a coin flip, you know? So, like, you know. All right, next is from Randy Vasquez. And the subject is...
Oh, wait, did you want to see this Dynamite?
Oh, yeah. It's
a highlight video. I couldn't find the full.
That's fine. Just look at now. I will tell people like, well, watch this and compare it to the work today. Go ahead. What's this music?
I hate the way this guy cut this. Like, stop cutting back to
this. This broke. This is a terrible. Just turn this off. This is an atrocious clip.
That guy sucks.
Yeah, terrible. Alright. Forget. Well,
Tiger Mask may be my favorite wrestler of all time, believe it or not.
He was excellent. Joe, find the actual clip of the match. It's from Japan.
Yeah. Oh,
put it up on our Patreon.
I was looking for the New York one.
No, put up on the Patreon. Like, there's a match from Japan where it's...
Yeah.
No, Japan's a good one, yeah.
Yes. All right. So next is from Randy Vasquez, Conan meet and greet question. Hey, guys, wanted to write in and say how cool it was to meet Conan at Barrio Toys in Roseville. Where was this at? Did you do an appearance, Conan?
Sacramento.
He's clearly loved by the Latinx... I'm going to say... It says he writes, he's clearly loved by the Latino community, but I have to be appropriate and call it the Latinx community. Would you agree with that?
No, I'd rather you be inappropriate.
As I was one of the only white guys in line, superfan Roy Lucier told me that he had been bugging Conan for years to do it. Thank you, K-Dog. I really enjoyed the conversation with Kenny Bolin and Casey and the Sunshine Band as well as disco music. My favorite disco song ever is Heaven Knows by Donna Summer. To me, she's the greatest artist ever. Where would you guys put her in your disco greats rankings? I Feel Love by Donna Summer is one of my top favorite songs of all time, top 10.
And that was one of the first songs that incorporated like electronic music, which would later turn into EMD. Yeah,
excellent song. Good, great.
Yeah.
Like whenever I play that song on my computer, like at work, all the
still rocks.
Like vibing
the shit's too. Like 40 years rocks. Old and it still rocks. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would say.
Great song, yeah.
I would put Donna Summer probably number one on my disco list of all time.
Interesting.
probably closely followed by the Bee Gees, then maybe the Village People, and then maybe Casey and the Sunshine Band. But there were so many. And what was the song that he was talking about? Was he talking about a song?
It's called Heaven. Oh, what is this here?
Heaven Knows. Okay.
Heaven Knows, yeah.
Bro, that's one of my favorite songs by her, too. There was actually a duet with a group called Brooklyn Dreams, where the main, and this is just nerd shit because I used to work at a record store and read this shit. But the lead singer was called Joe Beans Esposito, who his son ended up pitching for Colorado. But anyways, that's a great song. Heaven knows nothing. Good taste, my friend. What's his name? Oh, Randy Vasquez. Randy.
Yeah, you just met him.
He's been around tables. Next are Mike Durbin. Subject is leg slapping. Hi, Conan and Glenn. I went to the Impact TV tapings here in Chicago this past Friday night. I don't watch Impact or know who a lot of the wrestlers were, but I had a great time and took some pretty good photos from my front row seat. See attached photos. Okay, Joe, pull the photo up.
Yeah, here's his photo of Nick Aldis.
Okay, but look at the upper right-hand corner. What does that say?
Mike Durbin production.
He wants credit for taking a picture of somebody. Mike Durbin production.
There's Jordan Grace.
The only negative aspect of the show is a blatant and gratuitous leg slapping in every single match. Even matches with veterans, such as someone who might be on probation at K100. Huh. Every single match had at least a dozen leg slaps. Some of them were so obvious and lazy, it seemed like they were doing it as a joke. The most surprising offender was Sammy Callahan, who's supposed to be this crazy badass fighter, and he slapped his leg while wearing black jeans. It barely made any noise and was totally pointless, but he did it anyways. Perhaps out of habit. The F is going on here. Isn't Lance Storm an agent there? I ran into my great good friend Ricky Morton in the hallway. I know he was there agenting also. Why are these agents putting a stop to this ridiculous leg slapping, or are the talent just not listening? Thank you. That's a Mike Durbin Productions. Check out my photos from the Impact and NBA on my Twitter at Mike Durbin. Mike Durbin, I'm not going to do. You're 100% right. And this should go viral. We should be calling out this stupid, shitty, terrible, fake work, which is like, it looks. I can't watch. I'm back in. Like, some of the wrestling storylines are good these days, right? But I'm fast forwarding through a lot of the shows. Because the leg slapping is so gratuitous that I can't watch the matches. It's atrocious. It looks stupid. It looks fake. Maybe this little echo chamber, like nobody's calling it out, but people like me, they're like, well, Disco's calling out, so we must be doing it right. It's like, no. The Impact, nobody watches Impact. You know why nobody's watching Impact? Maybe because of what Mike Durbin said. Everybody's slapping their thighs and simulating the sound openly.
Well, not just that, Glenn. It's all the little other things like not working the crowd, not selling.
All those things.
And you're like, come on, who trained you? Bro, did you not watch wrestling from the old days, how it was done? How can you not understand that it's better how it be? That's not old man you barking at the clouds. It is what it is. You know, I understand and I've adjusted that there's things today that work and would not have worked before. I get that, but there's a lot of shit from before that you can still incorporate today and it's gonna fucking work. A steering wheel, it hasn't changed much in over I don't know how many years because it's a fucking steering wheel. You don't need to change it, you know?
Right. So I'll say this. It's like, you know, bro, everybody talks about the evolution of wrestling. All right. Well, evolution is like a positive word, but if this is the evolution, it's like this is not positive. Not a lot of people watching your show. You know, it's like, you know, you're evolving the business by doing all this new stuff. And like, it's this stuff is not resonating with drawing fans, which is ultimately what you want to do in a business where you want to make money. Fake fighting and taking bumps and stuff. It's like, dude, it's like, come on. Like, you know,
and let me tell you
and
about
it. It couldn't change either, too. It's like, so.
Yeah, let me tell you about the leg slap. You could change it because it's so ubiquitous that sometimes we don't bother to tell him, and I'm guilty of that too, because I got so much going on that sometimes I forget.
Right.
But all it boils down to is a talent meeting or a memo where you say you cannot do that. And I may have to do that in Mexico.
Bro,
and a lot of times, Disco, I tell people individually, but it slowly creeps back in. And I actually use this example. I go, bro, do you not get hot when fans are
mimicking the thing and they're in the crowd? Okay.
Right.
They're slapping their thighs along with the
show, and they're asking you for an autograph, and one guy slapping the other guy and hitting himself in the chest or in the leg, and the other guy selling it. They're making fun of us.
Right.
And that's your fucking fault.
Dude, I will challenge you to do this. And I said, bro, if I ever became, you know, I have no skin in the wrestling game anymore. But if they ever hired me to do, like, I'm an agent or insurance, you know, whatever. If I have a position of authority, I'm benching the people that are slapping their thighs. If you're slapping your thighs, you're just I'm not going to use you, bro. That's literally what you have to do. And I'm challenging you. Are you willing to do that and tell these guys, look, dude, I think this shit is costing us fans and money. I think it's turning people off. And I'm telling you, don't do this anymore. And if you do it, I'm not going to put you on TV. Are you willing to go to that extreme and do that?
Oh, maybe? No. My whole thing is I would basically put out a memo and say you can't do this on TV anymore. And if you're going to do it in a match, you need to ask for permission. Why? And if like it's a one right. time in a whole show and something that's
should be the finish. Shawn Michaels. Everybody's talking about, right. Well, Shawn Michaels. Yeah, Shawn Michaels would do it on the finish or makes tell, it sound really. Like he's slapping.
Yeah, and
like
he didn't do it six times during the match before right. he did the finish.
And he didn't do it, obviously.
And the gimmick is he's slapping his thigh because he's hitting you and he's like cracking your jaw and he's pinning you. Right. That's what I was saying. That's what the sound is supposed to see. Right. You know,
I see people nowadays on TV blading in front of the camera, talking in front of the camera. They don't even throw their head down to fucking talk. They just talk like the bro. I'm thinking, do you at any time think that the camera could be on a close up with you while you're talking?
Right. Yeah. And plus two is like they're literally slapping their because every kicking motion now is a thigh slap. You're kicking somebody in the stomach and you're slapping your thigh. I can't show me one instance in the human history where you kick somebody in the belly and it makes this sound. You know, it's like this. It's not going to make this out, right? All right. Next one, Jack Hayes, and somebody's getting a new wrestling dirt sheets guy. Hi. Since you guys kicked off Billy, you're going to get another dirt sheet guy. Also, P.S. Conan, will we ever do any AAA shows in the U.S.? If Jason Powell had time to come on our show every week, I'd be interested in having him on every week because he's not a he's a pretty honest guy, like sports too.
I was thinking about that. I don't know that I like. Obviously, he's a wrestling reporter. He reviews shows, but as far as like a dirt sheet guy, he doesn't dip into the dirt and the
he doesn't
stuff that much.
No, he's like I always said, like he's like the one of the guys that just is not these toxic personalities, and you know, so he's just bro. He likes fantasy. He likes sports, and he likes wrestling. You know, it's like, I would not mind talking to Jason Powell every week. You know. I like the guy. So he's the first dirt sheet guy to ever share. I had a relationship with and like converse with on the phone. And like, I would be willing to, and I liked him when we had him on a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a good guest.
Yeah, audience likes him a lot too.
What do you think, Conan?
I don't think we need a dirt sheet guy, but you never know. And basically Billy was recommended by Disco. I didn't know who the fuck he was.
Right.
And, but even Disco, I don't try to put the onyx on him. You know, as far as the United States, believe me when I tell you this, or I wouldn't say it at all. We are working on something big. And, you know, when the news comes out.
Yeah. Next one's from Bill. So we're picking the mail. We did two days of mail that we recorded here. We usually record the mail one day, but this is day two. From Bill Tugamala. Subject is hanging out with Yokozuna. Good morning, fellas. Fan of the show and like the content you guys put on different topics. Conan, was it the city of Carson where Yoko took you to? I seen a clip of Rikishi quoting that Yoko is gangsta. Conan, you are definitely someone who seems to understand that you can still learn something in life as each day presents itself, which is probably why you have a strong fan base of Polynesian people. Keep up the great work, Joe and Disco. Lake Show in six. The story about you and Yokozuna.
I think we were in South Central, but boy, did he have love. And he loved gangster rap, so, you know, and he was a real G. And that's where Hall and Nash got all that for life. That was from listening to Yokozuna, who was listening to Mac 10.
Mac 10, yeah.
And then he put me on to Master P, and he would see me and he'd give me CDs and he'd go, listen to this, man, you know? And I remember they tried to get, at one time, Hall and Nash tried to get Yoko and I believe Rikishi into WCW, you know? And we always used to hang out in Mexico when he was there because there were hardly any Americans. And he was in a different promotion, so he's kind of alone. And, bro, I remember one time we went to this arena, and it was super jam-packed. And I don't know if he did it because I was over or he did it because he liked me. But in the middle of the match, and this is crazy, he goes, leapfrog me, turn around, and slam me. And I didn't have any chance to go what or whatever. He was already throwing me into the ropes. He bent down like that. I leapfrogged him. He turned around. He just jumped into my arms, and I slammed him. Bro, that place erupted. But nothing but love and great memories with Yoko.
Yeah, if I remember right, they won it. Especially Hall and Nash, like you said, they wanted to try to bring him in, but he had a thing, and some other deeper historian could probably correct me if I'm wrong, where he was, the athletic commissions wouldn't allow him to wrestle because his weight got so high and out of control. You know? So they couldn't bring him in.
Next up is from Jason Turpin, some of his father's son matches. Hey guys, I guess my question last week about drag laws was too fire for the mailbag. Disco never read it.
That's true.
What happened now?
That's true. Yeah, he sent in an email about drag laws, and you skipped it. I thought you just skipped it.
I skipped it?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought I'd read everything. It's kind of weird. Okay, so my question this week will be less controversial. Juventud Guerrero recently started his own podcast on his YouTube channel, LA Arena. The production reminds you of that old-school Japanese game show that used to come on Spike TV. Anyways, Juve was talking about Ray and Dom's match at WrestleMania, and Juve compared the match to the first time he wrestled his father, Fraser Guerrero. Conan, with all the other father-son wrestlers in Lucha Libre, are there any memorable father-son matches that you can cite? Thanks, and that's from Jason Turpin.
Oh, father against the son?
Yeah.
No.
No?
No.
Well, how about the one with Juve against Fuerza?
Yeah, that was there was good heat there. Yeah, there was good heat.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on Auto Trader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.
Next is from Lars Kunitz, and the subject is Bidding War. Apparently, in recent interviews, Tony Khan's been dropping hints that he is signed or is having talks with Goldberg. With this news, do you think the Vince McMahon will panic and try to re-sign him? I'm a Goldberg fan, but I really don't think the WWE need him. Thing is, Tony Khan has the money. He just signed Brian Cage's 6-year deal for F's sake. Do you think it's possible that Bill Goldberg is about to break records with the highest contract in wrestling history? I don't know. I mean, if they sign him, I'm sure he's going to get a pretty penny, but for a limited amount of dates. I don't even really know what to say here,
Neither do I. I mean, wherever he goes, he's going to get paid.
Right.
But I don't, how much time does he really have left?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously with the star power and the name, he could bring something to the table, but how much would be my question. Like, I don't think that, I said it before, that crowd, Goldberg's not their bag, really. Kenny Omega's their bag.
Well, they chant their bag. They do the Goldberg chant for Wardlow already.
But he's from AEW. He's like a a part of the, he grew up there or whatever. He's a homegrown talent.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Next is from Garth F. Killing Machine. The subject is Roderick Strong, the Game Changer. Hey guys, I know that you guys are always being asked about whoever Tony Khan signed that week, but because he signs a new wrestler every week. But I'd love to know what K100 thinks are the genuine future career possibilities for Strong in AEW. I think he's a really good wrestler, but he's the blandest of the blandest. So glad Billy is gone. The show is better without him. Strong is going to be the Adam Cole's tag team partner. I mean, it sounds like they're kind of getting some of those guys. Like, Kyle O'Reilly's hurt. They didn't re-sign Bobby Fish, right?
No, he was at Impact. I'm not sure if he still is.
Right. So I don't know. There'll just be he'll be a tag team with Cole. I don't know what his deal is. Is he a full time side? Who knows?
I think they put out that graphic. He's all elite or whatever now. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, have you ever worked with Roderick Strong, Conan?
Yeah, in Impact.
Yeah.
Bro, he's got a hell of an arm. Yeah. He used to be a quarterback in high school, I think, in Delaware. He told me.
Yes.
He has one hell of an arm. Mm-hmm. And a hell of an athlete and a nice guy, just the same thing I've been saying for over a year. What are you going to do with him, bro? They're super oversaturated with talent.
If somebody listening to the mailbag can send in or answer this, I always heard the knock on him was that he's not good on the mic. He can't talk, but I haven't seen that much of him since he left Ring of Honor, so I don't know.
All right. Next one's from Easton Axwin. The subject is K100 intro. What's up, guys? And what's the new K100? For anyone who skipped it, it contains two infamous clips from WWE Tough Enough. One was Stone Cold Steve Austin being stunned, shocked, when Cameron said that her number one match in wrestling history was Melina versus Alicia Fox. My question is, so effing what? Why can't that be her favorite match? People talk about Bret Hart versus Shawn Michaels being the greatest match of all time. Not in my opinion. To me, it's as boring as Billy Body talk about how he's cool. Enough with the wrestling snobbery. If someone likes a match, let them like it.
Well, here's the point.
I just did not have a question. Wait, my question is, oh, so what? It's like, all right, I agree too. Who cares?
The point of that was, I think she went into Tough Enough with, she was not a wrestling fan. She had no experience and no knowledge of the history. She mentioned Alicia Fox because it was like her cousin or something. Right. They set her up to do that. Yes. Just so Austin could make fun of her, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Wayne Grofine, Triple H taking shots at Reigns. When Triple H was revealing the new WWE title on Raw, he took a few obviously kayfabe shots at Reigns during the segment. What I'd like to know from K100 is, what do you think this is leading to? Triple H has said in interviews that he has heart problems, that he'll never wrestle again, but he'll not even risk taking a bump again. So a Triple H versus Reigns match currently isn't in the works, but what do you guys think? What do you guys think is happening? Billy running back to Russo is a bad look. It's already causing behind the scenes problems for those guys. What are we gonna say here? Triple H, I don't know. Triple H is like that though. He's always been like, just ribbing on the square with guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like Edge was on TV one time, and he goes, "Hey, you never drew a dime, kid." Something like that. You know, he just does that. That's the same. I don't read anything else into that other than
they
that.
Fucked with Masters when he came back from a drug suspension and he lost some weight, and they were fucking with him about how his arms got small and said his neck was like a stack of dimes and shit.
Right.
Yeah, he'll do that on TV all the time, or used to.
Yeah. So next is Jared Adiot. The subject is woman not being ready for prime time. Hi, K100 fam. Hope all is well. I watched my first AEW's women's match in about 8 months, and Tynara Mello was in it. Even for AEW's low standards, her performance was pretty shocking. She would not register any moves being done to her, and she looked lost out there. Even non-fans noticed how whack she was out there. I remember her being in NXT in 2017, and she seems to wrestle the exact same way as she did back then. My question to the crew is, why does AEW or any company for that matter present women like Paola Blaze or Tay Mello who are clearly not ready to be on TV? Does it purely come down to sex appeal despite some ladies looking ridiculous at their job? And does the crew think that things need to be more strict in terms of who are actually allowed to be on TV? Thank you very much. They just need better agents. Or the agents need to, an attractive girl like that, she doesn't need to be doing complicated spots. Like, when you're hot, just learn to, like the way Jay George wrestled Taya, that watch along the rematch, is a lot of simplicity. You know, if you keep it simple and keep the moves simple and everything, you're not going to expose yourself and look bad. I think a lot of these girls just try to do way too much stuff on TV. Would you agree with that, Conan?
Yep, and they want to show they can hang with the guys, but for the most part, their athleticism isn't on the same par as the guys. And that's
right.
That's a fact, you know?
Right.
Now, as far as Tayo Mello, I think there's way worse girls than her there. I do think she should be in Rampage getting reps. But she's pretty close to being ready. I mean, she, every time I've seen her there, she brings it, and she's very physical.
Next is from Ron Soron, the subject is worst wrestling shirts ever. Hey, K100, I'm sure now you've seen Britt Baker's hideous shirts, but their face is either covered in blood like Kerry White, or she's sporting a black eye and blue shiner on her eye, looking like a victim of domestic violence. These shirts are straight up caca, and I would hate to meet the idiot who would have had the guts or stupidity to wear that in public. My question is, what are some of the worst wrestling shirts you've ever seen? The question is for all three of you. Thanks, Ron. Addicted to the Blade shirt is the worst one I've ever seen.
I knew something was coming.
All right, for sure. I don't know.
Here's the Brit shirt if you didn't see it. It's just a picture of her
absurd.
With a shiner. Yeah.
I mean, that's not really, I don't know.
Well, people are saying it makes people think of domestic violence. I don't. I mean, if I saw someone wearing that and it was at a wrestling show, I'd be like, oh, it's Britt took a shot in a match and they're making her try to look tough. You know, that's all.
I don't. That's kind of weird.
The worst wrestling shirt I ever saw was the Acolytes had a shirt and it went APA, always pounding ass. Who would wear that?
Not me.
There you go.
Cody, do you see any bad shirts?
Every single shirt on Joe Feeney's t-shirt store.
Crazy Eddie.
CrossingTees.com. They're all tied. They're all tied for the worst.
They're all tied, starting with the boom of the fucking cat.
Right.
It's a Dexter shirt.
All right, next is from Joseph Mattarelliano. Somebody's mailbag. What's up, K100? What's up, K100 crew? Larry Dallas has lost his Knicks fan card. He bailed on game one versus Miami in the fourth quarter. Embarrassing. Anyway, I'll get to my question for D.I., Conan, and JoJo. Do you think AEW's biggest problem is that they book to their live audience instead of their TV audience? I've been to both Raw and Dynamite live. I've had a great time at Dynamite, way better than I watch at home. The exact opposite for Raw. I found going to be painfully boring and watching at home was made way more entertaining. Curious to hear everyone's thoughts. They do book for the live. A lot of guys cut promos on the live crowd, too. MJF will do the cheap heat promos, you know? And they absolutely book for the home live crowds. Like, every time they're in somebody's hometown, they make a big deal out of it. Like, they'll even have, like, then that person will be a babyface for some odd reason, even though they're in the hometown. I don't know. What do you think, Conan? Do you think they
book too much for the live? Yeah, I just think they cater too much, but it's smart at the end of the day because they leave happy. They feel like they had a good time. They feel that they're important, and they're the ones buying the tickets, you know? Right. WWE has more of a corporate feel. And they have more like a indie corporate feel, if you will. You know,
it's a little looser. You're a part of us and all that.
Yeah.
Next is from Kevin Hughes. Subject is selling is a dying art. Hey, K100 lads, a longtime listener from the UK, first time sending in the mailbag. Selling seems to be a dying art in today's wrestling. Not a lot of effort seems to be going into making it look authentic. I know this more in the WWE, particularly the women's division, where unnecessary, overdramatic selling takes place. Dolph Ziggler has it down to a T and is a great seller. Just so you've always prided yourself in your selling, and rightly so. Do you think selling is overlooked in training nowadays and fast-tracking talent is taking place? Conan, all the best for your health. As someone who recently been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease, your positive outlook is inspiring. Disco, keep being you, and Joe, keep up the great work making the show what it is. All the best. Kev Hughesy.
Well, this guy's last name is Hughes, and he's from the UK. Do you think he's perhaps in the Hughesy family, maybe a cousin or something?
It might be.
Dirty dog.
It might be. So I will say this. We speak about this all the time. There's a lack of detail given to selling. Like, a lot of these people, you kick them in the head and they just don't even acknowledge that they've been hit. They like stagger, like selling is like trying to tell the fans that the shit hurts. And like, you do that by like showing pain and agony, which a lot of these guys just never really do, you know? So you got any comments going in?
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. I remember when I first, like now a lot of people sell like I used to sell. When I came from Mexico, I always used to like die. And then when I came here, they were like, you can't die complete. You got to show some life. And it does make a difference.
Right.
So a lot of people just, like you said, they get hit somewhere. They don't even touch it to let everybody know that, you know, it's an emotional thing. And most people just want to know how to do a fucking, you know, a spot before selling, which is so way more important.
Right. Next one's from Jessia Dado. Subject is Goldberg streak versus Undertaker streak. So Josh from Pasadena, looking back on how both Undertaker and Goldberg streaks were both ended for well-established stars, when at the end of the day, they did not need to win those matches. Nash and Brock were superstars at both points in their careers, and it's sad neither one of those matches were used to put over younger and upcoming talent. Looking back at both rosters, who would you pick to end either one of those streaks? Brock?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of a weird thing.
Nash,
Brock,
and the Wolfpack were hot at that time. He was a guy that was believable to beat Goldberg.
Right.
And then Brock beating Taker led into Brock's dominant role as champion and whatnot. I always thought Edge or Bray Wyatt could have beat Taker, but then you look at the long-term thing. Edge was out of the ring for, 7-8 years? Bray's had his problems. So I think at this point, Brock was the right pick.
Next is from Jessia Dido. Subject is Eddie's run as champ at WWE. And this. Hang on. Disco. Oh, is this two meals back to back?
Listen to this. You're right.
What?
You can already tell Endeavor and WWE are starting to work together. So this notice just came in. It says Connor calls them wannabes. Reigns, Reigns and Heyman calls them wannabes on Twitter. Will suplex Paul Heyman on site. So that's already started.
All right. So next up, so Jazzy at Dido, you have two mailbag submissions, so you're gonna be suspended for a week. Mm-hmm. Eddie's run as champ. What's up, guys? What do you guys think of Eddie's run as WWE champ when he finally won it at No Way Out? I've read that he was not happy because business wasn't doing as well with him on top. Do you believe that's why him and Benoit Saint both had the belts for only about five months?
Well, Conan would be the guy to ask about Eddie. I think you've said it before. When Eddie was champ, he did feel a lot of pressure and stuff like that because the houses weren't what he would want him to be in the ratings.
Yeah.
Didn't you say that before? Eddie was
I wasn't watching wrestling back then. I wasn't really invested in wrestling that much back then.
Yeah. I saw Eddie win, but I didn't watch much that year.
Yeah, I wasn't watching any. Next is from Neil DeMue, and the subject is Cowboy Bret Hart. I was recently watching Bret Hart's shoot interview, and during the interview, Bret spoke about the WWE's desire to be Cowboy Bret Hart. Creative explained he'd ride a horse in the ring every night and would have major merchandising opportunities. Bret requested to not proceed with the gimmick, worried he couldn't pull it off. If Bret did become a cowboy, do you think the first ever technical wrestling cowboy would have gotten over? Do you think the reason the WWE didn't pull rank and make him a cowboy is because they're worried that the horse could get addicted to the hay? Oh my God. We're going to suspend the guy for that bad joke this week. And we're going to suspend Joe for coughing like he's a smoker.
Nah, that wasn't bad.
So we got a... Well, Bret ended up being a cowboy on TV on that show that he did. It's kind of weird he didn't want to do that gimmick, you know?
Lonesome Dove.
Yeah. I don't know. He could do... I mean, cowboy... Who's the cowboy in a UFC? What's his name?
Cerrone.
Yeah, Donald Cerrone's a cowboy. Cowboys can fight.
And anyway, Bob Orton...
He would have gotten over because when you go to Calgary and you go to the airport, there's like a big cowboy hat there and fucking rodeo shit. Right. So that is a cowboy town. And he would have gotten over because he was great.
And remember, his dad ran shows at that Calgary Stampede every year, which is a big cowboy deal, carnival, convention, all that.
Next is from Roger Alzey, and the subject is prohibiting death matches. Hey, K100 crew, just came across a video where an independent wrestler named Masada botches a fireball spot, lights himself on fire. He suffered significant burns to his body and face. Was the pay worth the risk? Of course not. I come from an area where we went to the Elks Lodge in Queens to watch ECW and brought items for New Jack to use as weapons in his match. You all know they weren't afraid of using a flaming table or two. I know these stunts bring shock value to the product. There's a freak accident. But don't you think it's time to either prohibit death matches? P.S. I effed up. The last email you read, Disco, I put Slap Wrestling where I get my news, but it's called Slap Rock Wrestling. Here's the link to the video if you want to see it. I don't want to. Bro, did you see this?
No.
Not even either. Do you want to look at it?
It's just a guy that says it's stupid. It's just some idiot.
Do you know Masada, Conan?
Yep.
I think he's like Teddy's friend and stuff. Yeah.
No, he wrestled in TJ.
Oh, okay.
Nothing having to do with Teddy.
Yeah. All right, next one's from Brian Dunlop, and the subject is
You don't want to see this guy?
Oh, go ahead and show it, yeah.
Okay.
Blowing. It is so dumb.
So he's going to get it. It caught on his like, the liquor.
I did see this.
Oh, no. Somebody help him. We need help. Holy fuck.
Yikes.
Poor guy, bro, because I know him. He's a really, really cool guy.
That guy?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Set himself on fire?
Yeah.
That's not the brightest thing he's ever done in his life.
Well, the liquid leaked down his beard or something, you know?
So Brian Dunlap questions, what should WWE do with gender?
That's a suspension.
Yeah.
He sent one yesterday. That's two.
Oh, hello, Conan Disco. Jinder Mahal is a former WWE champion. He's currently on NXT and has been unsuccessful in his attempt to become an NXT champion. What should WWE do with him? With the company reintroducing the World Heavyweight Championship, perhaps Mahal one day will be a contender for the title, especially considering he's a former world champion. However, what if the company goes a completely different route with the modern-day Maharaja? Here's my idea. Tinder Jinder. Mahal would be a womanizer who's apparently extremely popular in the dating app Tinder. He'd be the modern-day Punjabi playboy taking Great Khali's place. Maybe Khali can come back and they'll go on double dates. Vince Russo's extremely high on Jinder. You can't hinder the Jinder, bro. I do not like that. I liked his gimmick before when he was the Maharaja. You know?
Right.
I don't know.
He was mega over and he had mega heat.
Right.
And let me say this. I think it's this month or next month, India is about to overtake China as the world's most populous country. And so you would want to have it for social media and for, you know, bro, that's an important market. And maybe you could even make a little Indian faction. Remember that they had that Indian guy that was wrestling Ray with the fucking cross in the head? And then they had that other big Indian guy. I forgot his name.
Mansoor.
The Veer guy, Mansoor. Yeah, what happened to them? The guy was dancing around.
Right. Right. That guy.
Yeah.
They could make it like a little faction, you know?
And maybe. I mean, they need Indians because there's a large Indian market, you know? So next is some Sky.
You know, Santos Escobar, when we were in Impact, he used to hate me because they had like an Indian faction there. It was like Gama Singh and his son and this other Indian guy, right?
Right.
All cool guys, by the way. And I would always say, well, you're not doing nothing with Fantasma. Why don't you stick him with the Indians? he would get hot.
Anyway, for the listeners that enjoyed, there was just like a hardcore match behind Conan between the two dogs, and I think the German Shepherd came out victorious. So Just so everybody knows that.
All right.
Next is from Sky.
Mean by them.
Yes.
Next,
I am.
Next is from Sky Flame. The subject is wrestlers bugging out. New Jack mentioned a promo that Bubba Ray once did yay with him and started bugging out. Are there any wrestlers that couldn't handle the shit backstage and end up wilding as a result? I mean, guys were never, you know, I don't know. I don't know anybody that did drugs and wrestled, you know? I mean.
Right, backstage.
I don't know. That's kind of a weird question. Next is from Ben. Subject is inclusivity. What's up, K100? Do racial minorities like white corporate buzzwords like inclusivity, representation, and diversity? Does this stuff actually work, or do they roll their eyes at the whack white folks who are trying to bamboozle them into purchasing their products? I'll ask you, Conan. Well, Conan doesn't like the Latinx.
No, I think Ben knows the answer to that question.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, like I said, the white liberals are the ones talking about, you know, they're speaking up for the minorities. And it's kind of weird. You don't really hear the minority speaking about it. It's like the white liberals that are pushing it and trying to shove it down everybody's throats. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like they're treating the minorities as second-class citizens.
Yeah, like they have,
like we have
to help
them. Like they have to help them. Mm-hmm. You know, like you know, as opposed to, like, as I've said all along, and nobody can disagree with this. In the year 2023 in the United States of America, every single person is born with two things. Okay, opportunities to succeed and excuses not to. Whichever one you choose is what you choose, because there are opportunities for people to exceed out there. And it's saying, like, oh no, there's not. It's like, bro, it's like people come from poor places and stuff, and they end up succeeding.
They become doctors.
They put in the work. You know, like, everybody can do that, and they try to make it sound like no, they can't. It's like, I would disagree with that, right? So, all right. Next is from what do you think, Conan?
I just think, you know, if you're a minority, you definitely have to work harder than most. Because, you know, there's always going to be roadblocks for them. But at the end of the day, if you do work hard and you do, you can achieve anything you want. You know.
Next is from James J.R. Men's Dark Side Topics. Hey, this is James from Los Angeles. Love the podcast. You guys did an amazing job. Why don't you guys saw some Dark Side of the Ring? My question is, if you believe there should be a topic that should be covered for an episode. Me personally, I would like to see one of the Heroes of Wrestling disaster, which involved, along with a drunken Jake Roberts, botches, and mic jams. What is a topic they should bring up? I'm not a fan of that show, James.
Yeah, I kind of figured.
I don't watch Dark Side. I'm not a fan, and I don't think, you know. You want me to, like, contribute, like, something bad that's happened to the rest of the business?
Let me give you a shitty story.
Right.
Yeah. No, I liked it at first, but then I felt like you guys were. I watched the Benoit episode of Owen, and I'm like, this is miserable. You know, this is not a good light for the business or anything. You know, it's like Behind the Music. It's all just shit.
Yeah, but no. This was way darker than Behind the Music. Behind the Music was very entertaining.
Or I'm thinking of another music show. Never mind. My fault.
Yeah. And it was always the same thing. You're part of a group. You guys all have creative differences and you break up.
Yeah.
You break up. Then later on you figure out, fuck, we're not good at anything else. We might as well get back together.
Yeah.
You know? And it was the same story. And a lot of them also had groups being ripped off by managers. Which you see a lot of music because everybody's partying and not paying attention, and a lot of drug usage.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.